Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Nick Stahl, and you're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Cool.
Hey, survivors. Welcome to episode 92 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
So we will be covering Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 9, titled Follow Me. We did not get any feedback that we needed to cover from the last episode, which was Season 7, Episode 9, titled Padre.
A long time ago.
Yes, a very long time ago. So if I missed anybody's, then I'm sorry about that. All right. Well, Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 9, titled Follow Me, written by Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, showrunners, directed by Heather Capriello, and description was Alicia fights off Arno and her worsening fever with a little help from a mysterious stranger. All right. Let's go into our ratings. I guess I'll go ahead and start, and I give it a 6.8. I have a dream. Because there was a lot of that going on.
Yes. And I gave it a 6.5 out of 10. The cure for this fever was not more cowbell.
More cowbell. Yep. That's too funny. All right. Well, let's go into our listeners' ratings. We got one from Dieta from Detroit, and she says, I rate this episode 6 out of 10 wonky dream voices and new people who were only here for one episode. Facepalm, facepalm, facepalm. What's the point?
Yeah.
I know. I was like, there's more.
But wait, there's more. So Glenn from Toronto gives the 9 out of 10 sound offs.
And this came from Erin from the internet, but I'm not sure if this was her rating because it was at the end of her email. Because all and like because it was like this, like, the number of sasai's that she commented on added up to 4 out of the 5. So I might have to double check with you, Erin, and then edit this out. But she gave it a 4 out of 5. So I don't think that that's necessarily the rating. But we'll leave it at that.
Well, we'll leave it at that. And yes. That is definitely, that's cryptic enough that it works.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for your ratings. Let's go into Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
All right. Our first Awesome Sauce comes from Dieta from Detroit. And she says, I guess seeing Alicia for the full episode, no matter how awful it was. Anguish face emoji and kind of a meh emoji.
That's kind of a meh face.
Yeah.
Glenn from Toronto says the hide and seek kills in Paul's house and then outside the auditorium were good. Arno was nearly played if that speaker hadn't broken and Paul playing out on his wife's bagpipes with an Ode to Joy rendition was fitting.
Yep. Yeah, I think we all kind of can agree with some of our awesomes that Paul, the new character, was awesome. All right, next is Erin from the internet, and she says, we got an Alicia-centric episode after what feels like forever. No, I don't count that crazy AU episode from last time where she acted as if she was someone except Alicia Clark. She said, still mad they had her get bit in such a punk way. It's a shame they sidelined her forever because look at the good character work she's done. Was this a slow pacing episode? Yes, but it had good and honest character stuff, such as her explaining in the van why it was her fault. That's earned drama writing, writers. It's the eternal writing you have Morgan do each week, or oh, if only she had been the lead of the series post-Madison instead of them taking the series from both the characters and giving it to a guy who is never involved in our show. Hashtag always bitter about Morgan. Also awesome, Paul. He was a good guest character, and it's a shame he didn't last longer. Yeah, I totally agree. Like, that's been a theme in The Walking... Well, I guess really more of Fear. It's like we get a, you know, a new character, and it's almost kind of like they're actually hashed out or like have a better performance or a better hook than the rest of our characters. And then they're just like, yeah. It's like, nope, nope, nope. Don't get too comfortable. Like, he's gone.
Yeah. Cause arguably Paul had a better hook than Arno.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it seems to be one of those things,
which is kind of, not like, well, it's kind of like, come on, then the amount of work that you put into Paul's character, then put that into the characters that are on the show week to week.
Well, we've said it before that they'll have these flashes of good writing, but then it just kind of seems like they
peters out.
they use it for something that they shouldn't have.
Yeah. No, exactly. They just unfortunate. Oh, all right. Well, thank you everyone for your awesome sauce. So let's go into ours. And basically I was just kind of like basically going to say same thing. And it was like Paul, because he was interesting and I wanted to know more about him. And like, I also wanted to like know more about him and his wife and like how they survived that long. You know, it was kind of like, I felt like there was just so much more like, okay, what did you guys do when everything fell, you know, and then how did you get to that point? Because we kind of got just the brief little deal, like, oh, well, his hearing and, you know, I guess his wife basically died whenever Teddy launched the, you know, nuclear missiles.
Right.
And then we hear more about, like, well, he started losing his hearing, you know, way, you know, before, and how that caused strife between him and his wife, and just like, you know, they were both musicians, you know, it was like all this stuff. And it was kind of like, oh, like this is, there's a lot here that I would like to know more about. So it was just, that was an awesome part of the episode, because some of the other parts, it just kind of was like, okay, you know, Arnold or whatever, your beef with Alicia having her dreams,
right?
And padre. And well, then the other,
it's more, no, Kyle, it's padre.
Oh, and then the other part, it was good to have another character that's like,
yep,
different. And like, you know, like, I mean, he, you know, he had his hearing loss, which he kind of stated was starting, and then it he lost it all whenever the bombs went off. But it's just nice to see, like, you know, it's another character like Connie, who, you know, is deaf in real life, and then, you know, a deaf character, and just how they interact in this world. Because it is, you know, that's the one good thing that this show does as The Walking Dead. It's like they bring in those kind of characters, because it's like, it's not just, it's, you know, gives us more sides of like, oh, what's it like to deal in this world if you had, you know, some of this like
right,
issues. And like, you know, I'm sure it's like a great way, you know, includes everybody, you know. It's like, because really, it's like, if this actually happened today, it's like, you know, it's not just all everybody that just, you know, looks great and best shape and like knows how to shoot a gun and like whatever, you know. It's like
people that are actually prepared for an apocalypse.
Yeah. So it was like good to see that as well.
Yep.
What'd you have?
Well, this was actually the hardest, always the hardest part of the episode with Fear at times, coming up with something for the awesome sauce. So this week for my awesome sauce, I start off with haggis in a can. The thing that I thought was so funny about it was that they made such a big deal about it. And when he was talking about, you know, yeah, when I'm out scavenging for supplies, it's always easy to find haggis in a can. And I said, well, there is probably some truth to that. Because we've seen, you know, we've seen them eating all kinds of stuff out of cans, but it just never occurred to me that there's going to be some specialty store that you go through and the shelves are devastated except for, you know, McTavish is fabulous, haggis in a can. I thought it was pretty awesome that of all the instruments he had, and of course the instrument that he played were the bagpipes. You know, being of Scottish extraction way back, you know, I actually enjoy pipe music. It was funny that he was talking when they asked him, did you actually learn to play the pipes? He said, yes, he actually got a guy that was in a pipe band that actually taught him to play. Mm-hmm. And just like everybody else has said, I thought Paul was a very interesting character that, I think to sort of play on and clarify the point I think you were making, I think it would have been interesting to see how they were doing before the nuke. Mm-hmm. Because it sounded like they were doing okay by themselves on their own, you know, in their house. And it goes back to a question that we have asked on the podcast, both for the main show and for Fear, is, you know, are there still little undiscovered pockets of people out there that are getting by that aren't, you know, crazed mercenary yeah. types, you know, or predators? Or manage to hook up with some other larger group. And so that was nice that they actually sort of gave us a little bit of, well, yeah, there are some people out there that are still managing on their own as small two or three people clusters. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, if it was gold amongst the dross, it was that they actually can develop some compelling characters when they take a notion to. And I think the other awesome thing that I'll throw in is Alicia's makeup. Because when I watched Talking Dead and, you know, they had an interview with her, you know, talking about this week's episode, you know, she looked really good. Mm-hmm. And then you contrast that by looking at her makeup. And she talked about the fact that they had to add, you know, the heavy eye makeup to make her eyes look sunken, and then, you know, how much they had to doctor her clothes to give her the sweat ring. Mm-hmm. And just the level of detail they went into on that. And she was talking about the appliance they built for her arm and some of the other things like that. And we've never, ever said that this franchise is not good with practical effects. And they're, you know, they've always been good with that sort of thing. And their makeup department is excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she looked bad. I mean, let's be honest. So, you know, awesomes to them for the work that they did to make her look so sick.
Yeah. That's for sure. That's the thing. It's like, besides story wise, or like, just like, you know, some of that part of it, like, they've done some great Walker, like, effects. They've done some great. Yeah. Like you're saying, like, with the way they did her makeup and, like, with her arm and all that stuff. It's like, but that's, I know, it's like, that part is like, that's good and it looks great and this and that. Just, you know, it's kind of like, well, where's the other part? It's like, come on, writers, you guys, your art department is like doing all the work.
We've said it before and I'd say it again that they could do less, you know, less of the Nicotero stuff. You know, they could scale back on the special effects if they would just do something about the plot and the writing. And I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be like someone else I could mention. And I'm not going to call the two showrunners' names, whether they deserve it or not. But we have said it, and I've said it since I came onto the show, that Fear, their Achilles heel has always been the plot and the writing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That all the things that we love making fun of and all the things that we love bringing up that we will bring up and we'll bring up in the future always comes down to the people in the little room with the whiteboard who generate the scripts that the actors have to follow. And it's, I'll go ahead and say it now because it's going to come up again. I know it will, that even as much as we want to trash what the actors do, I think that if you look at the caliber of actors that they have and the roles that they have them in, the fact that the show does as well as it does rests squarely on their performance rather than what they're given.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Totally.
So, that I think is about all I have to say about that.
All right. Well, then let's go into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Our weak sauce comes from the one and only Erin from the internet. And she says, Morgan Jones, just why did they have to shove him in this? Could we not have had Grace there when she woke up? She is a doctor after all. Also, just LOL to him asking for a straight answer. Morgan, you don't give straight answers even when forced to, so shut up. The audacity of this dude and the writers who make him such hypocritical lines, and they wonder why people hate him.
Erin, it's not everybody.
Yes.
Not everyone hates Morgan as much as you do.
I don't hate Morgan. I dislike the way that they're using him, because I'm on board with, like, you know, the OCs that we still have, like, that should, they should be more front and center. And
right.
You know, and I almost feel like Morgan had his chance in the first few seasons when he first showed up. You know, when he showed up and, you know, met John Dory, like that whole interaction of, like, that introduction and just that season, that first, the first half of the season, like that was actually really good. And it was very interesting. And we were getting kind of like introduced to our current cast, you know, now. And so it was, and then the transition from, you know, season 3 to season 4 without Madison. You know, I remember us, like, when we were talking about it, it's like we were, you know, mostly on board. I think I kind of gave some, like, you know, issues or something, but overall it was like, you know, okay, we're taking a different turn, kind of excited to see where this is going, and, you know, whatever. But it, then it's like, okay, it almost kind of seems like there should have been a pivot, and then Morgan should have moved on or something else, because it's not like he's gonna go back to the main show.
It's true.
Been too long. All right, well, thank you, Erin. All right, well, I guess that leads us into our weak sauce.
Yes, it does.
Some of this is kind of like, I didn't know where to put it. I didn't know if to put it in the weak sauce or the what sauce, and I think most of this is, I would agree that is, at least for me, was what would be in weak sauce, because, of course, it's fear. What would I talk about? Power, fuel, like, you know, the necessities that just seem to be abundance in this zombie apocalypse. And also because it's like, was it really shown? You know, it's one thing to be like, kind of, I'm griping about, like, okay, of course, you know, he's got power. He's, you know, playing his stereo super loud, blah, blah, blah. But it's another where it's like, we don't really, even if it's in the background, I kind of looked, I was like, okay, where is this power coming from?
Exactly.
It's just like everybody's like the power, like someone's got, you know, like someone took, you know, like shacked up in the local power plant and just keeping it running, because, you know, it was like he had 5 to 6 lights on in his room and it was daylight out, you know, and then he's like, you know, he's playing a stereo at full blast. Until Alicia, of course, broke it, because I guess she breaks everything. But again, it's like, you know, we don't see where it's coming. It's like, was this solar? You know, was, you know, he has batteries set up somewhere, like car batteries, whatever. Obviously, there's not a generator, but I just put that in there in my notes because I'm like, well, yeah, it's like, how is he getting this power? And it's just, again, it's like, oh, go horse. Like, everyone has that.
And not only did he have power on, but he had power in the kitchen. You know, his stove still works. You know, I'm going, okay.
Right.
And then the next thing is, like, for just to throw it in there, So you've got power in your house and you haven't attracted any ruffians.
Right.
You see the lights are on and this hasn't caused you any problems.
Yeah.
Because as we've seen everywhere else, if the lights work, people tend to show up.
Show up. You're right. No, and that's the other part that I think my Dieta will get to one of her comments. But it's like, we don't know where this is. And I get that Texas is a big state and there's a lot of remote, like, you know, like smaller towns, like less people. You know, if a zombie apocalypse happened, I would feel like people would be that are from there would know how to kind of like, okay, we're just going to get away from the population centers.
Right.
So it's like, I can see where possibly like there's less people around. And so you might not have that, you know, day-to-day meeting of new people. But again, you know, you're right. It's like, that's when you have people that are basically surviving. And just like Madison did in season two of Fear, flipped on the lights to the hotel so that everybody can see, like, oh, hey, look, there's people living here. You know, like, come on, you know, that's like, you wouldn't do that.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah, well, it's just, I guess, anyways, it's always going to be an issue.
Well, and just like you said, at this point, so where he's at, he's still able to make runs and find things.
Right.
But hasn't run into anybody. So that kind of makes me go,
Right.
Yeah. You know, does he just have the best luck in the world and the best timing in the world?
Well, that leads me to my next week, Sauce, because it was like, okay, so after all this time, you know, he can still find supplies out there and go on a food run. And, you know, it's like, we're like in what, 6 to 7 years into the zombie apocalypse or
something like that. We can say 7 to pick a number.
Yeah. So it's like, but Haggis is like the only thing that is still out there. And I get like, okay, maybe it's like not like something that like, oh yeah, I love Haggis. It's like something that's like, you know, that might not be very popular for, you know, like, you know, a popular item in normal day life. But I'm like, okay, with all the people that are out there surviving, you would assume that are going to and checking all the grocery stores, that they would have taken everything on their shelf, regardless if they liked it or not, because it's food.
Right. Because I think we would have been to the point where they were eating cat food, dog food. Food,
right. Just whatever. You know,
whatever. Chow mein noodles.
Right. If it's in a can, then it's food.
Right. And let's go ahead and throw, I have two things to throw out now that you've brought that up, is it still goes back to our old Texas time and distance calculator, because let me throw this out here. Just a few weeks of time ago, it's been, you know, a long time between episodes, but let's just say for showtime, you know, Morgan was having to go further and further away from the submarine to make food runs and wasn't finding anything and finding all these empty stores. So Paul was close enough that Alicia in her fevered, stumbly state could stumble and find him. But it's still far enough away that there are still stores with stuff on the shelves. And let's go ahead and add it in that he was close enough to the detonation area that the kaboom made his hearing go away.
Right.
So I may not be a math major, Kyle, but some of these things just do not add up.
Add up. Nope, exactly. They don't.
So that's where I was kind of going,
I know. And then you just kind of like, okay, fine. Like I'll just,
and then you just do the, it's fear.
Oh goodness.
And you just go ahead and say, you know, I'm sorry, disbelief. You have to go sit in the corner for the next hour.
Yep. Every week and Sunday at...
Yes, disbelief gets an hour time out.
Yeah. It does kind of get to the point, though, too, where it's like, yes, we're kind of now used to this, of being like, okay, this is like the running joke, to being like, why can't they put a little bit more, like, reality into it? Like, it doesn't even have to be anything that's even said. Like, it could just be like, oh, how is his house, you know, set up? Oh, is there a car battery, you know, or a small little solar thing, you know, and he has one light on?
Yeah, it would have taken less than a minute of actual prop setup if we would have seen like a shiny solar panel on a tripod in the backyard with wires running off of it.
Right.
Or if he had just made a throwaway comment about got to go flip the switch for the inverter.
Right.
And we would have gone, okay, I guess it makes sense now.
Yeah. Right.
Because we're so conditioned at this point to just, if you just give us a little tiny something, we'll just kind of shake our heads and go, okay, sounds great to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not even doing that.
No, they're not even. It's just like, it's just an like, it's not even a thought. It's just like, we're just, it's just, of course, it's like, he's going to have power. It's just, everybody does, and no big deal. Everybody has walkie talkies. But, anyways, I don't want to beat this dead horse anymore.
Because it's a stock dead horse that we take a couple swings at every time we talk about fear.
Yep. All right. Well, I'll go on to my next one, which was just, maybe it's because I just really don't like Arno, but it's like, Arno really isn't much of a Sherlock Holmes. And because, like, so he's looking for Alicia and he was like playing that piano and he finds the broken key. And it was even the dialogue between him and, Paul, that, you know, it was just like, I'm looking for her. Do you know where she is? Oh, your key, like, what's your piano's broken, whatever.
Dinkle, dinkle, dinkle.
Right.
Dunk, dunk, dunk.
It made such a point of, like, keep hitting it that, and it's kind of like, wouldn't you deduce to, like, look inside to why it's broken if you're, like, looking for someone? That just seemed like such a sign of, like, hey, at least look.
Well, I think the actual wording that I used was dumbass. That, you know, let's go ahead and let's just spell it out for you, Arno. You're the bad guy. Bad guys can do bad things. You know, he could have just whipped the top off of that baby grand and gone, ha ha.
Right.
Or, you know, put a couple of rounds through the top of the piano.
Yeah, or anything. Yeah,
I just, it's like you. I'm kind of going, he's going, yep, I guess your piano's broke. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Because they built it up like it was going to be some big tense moment. And he was like, you know, you're going, oh God, it's going to happen. He's going to do it. There's going to be a fight. And he's like, well, okay. Guess I'll right. see you later.
Have a nice day. See
her, yeah. If you see her, let us know. See ya.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. It was just like, okay. And on that, too, Arno is like, he's just, like, he was just annoying this episode. Like, I just, like, he doesn't make a very good scary person. He just feels like a dude that just like you have nothing better to do, so you're going to spend all your time traveling everywhere to go find Alicia because you could just walk away and just go do something else. But no, you gotta haul all your dead friends in the back of a trailer 100,000 miles everywhere, which direction, with the fuel that I'm sure you have plenty of. So I don't know. Just,
well, I was going to say that when I first saw Arno, I was kind of going, is he like Austin Emilio's stunt double? And then after I saw him in this episode, I'm going, this is like Dwight looking for Sherry, except there's really no reason. There's no compelling romance of why he's going after Alicia. So it's like, okay, so he's just a creepy apocalypse stalker who's looking for somebody he wanted to ask out on a date.
Oh, I know. It just like that. Yeah. The whole motive and like the whole, I don't know if I even like,
well, and it's really sad because, you know, we got, even though we were, we argued about how well he was used, you know, John Glover was at least a bad guy. You know, Teddy was a compelling bad guy because he was, you know, he was acted well and he was written as well as he could be.
Right.
And he at least, you know, made you feel uneasy that you could kind of go, yeah, I see that he's a bad guy.
Right.
This is like Sanka bad guy. You know, did Arno not finish his bad guy correspondence course before the nukes hit? I mean, I want my bad guys to be a little more compelling. I want them to be a little, you know, not just, you know, decaf bad guys.
No, it's like, I want them to be threatening, not just annoying. Like, I feel like Alicia's just like, oh, come on, just leave me alone. He's like, okay. like it literally, like, I don't feel threatened or scared.
You sure you don't want to go to the movies? there's a good one playing at the Bijou. I'll buy the popcorn. Yeah, it's like it's almost like the movie where he's the creepy pizza delivery guy. You know,
yeah.
Hey, Ms. Clark, I've got your pizza. You're looking very pretty today, if I must say so, Ms. Clark. Sorry.
Anyway, leave that. Maybe he won't be too much longer for this world, but I don't think so. I think he's going to be like a continuing thread this season or this back half.
It's like, you know, Arno, what you need to do is go negotiate with Strand over at the tower. And you know, maybe Victor will do the right thing and give him the express elevator ride to the parking lot.
Oh, maybe we could hope. All right, I'll get through this. The other part that I thought was weak was just, I'm pretty sure Alicia's not turning into a walker. Like, she's just sick and dehydrated or, like, whatever. Because even again in this episode, Paul was even saying, like, oh, yeah, like, oh, a bite? It's like, oh, you just, like, your wound around your arm or whatever doesn't look infected, and you do have the fever. And it's like, and also, like, how long has this been? It's like, so she got bit. She was with a poor ex-boyfriend. I already forgot his name.
Will.
Oh, Will. Poor Will. But, yeah, I mean, it was like, that was when they were still at the bunker. And to, like, now where we're at after the bomb's gone. You know, so we're, like, many, many, many months, if not, like, who knows, you know, whatever. To, like, okay, girl.
A longer period, and this is air quotes, kids, a longer period of time than a day.
Right. And, like, basically you can't just make new things up and, like, all of a sudden make that canon. It's like, no, there's already, like, pretty, like, set standards of, like, if you get bit, you get sick, and then you turn, unless you cut your arm off or whatever. But it's like, you know, even then, it's like, she's not, like, so it basically just eliminates anything about being afraid, like, oh no, she's going to die, everybody dies and turns into a walker, but, like, this is not what's going to be cause of her death, if that's the case.
Yeah. If she turns now, this will be the longest, drawn-outiest.
Yeah, if that happens.
Remember after, you know, after Bob got bit and got his leg cut off, that he lingered and he was sick and feverish, but he wasn't sick and feverish for this long.
No, not at all. So, anyways,
I'm thinking like you that, you know, she's just sick at this point.
Yeah. Right. And that just eliminates the whole, if this is what they're trying to do, because my worry is that they're playing this angle, trying to be like, oh, no, you know, she got bit and she's just sick. And, you know, like, it's just taking a long time or whatever, you know, and then we know Madison's coming back. And so there's going to be a meeting between Madison and Alicia, a reunion. Like, we know that that's going to happen. So it's kind of like, you know, you can't then make this the reason of how she dies and, like, have an Ophelia moment where Madison gets to see her right before she passes away after 6 months since she got bit and cut her arm off.
And honest to God, if they tried something like that, that would be, I think I would have to say that would be a bridge too far.
Yes, but I'm still worried.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no telling.
Yeah. So, anyways, the last part was, it's kind of interesting. Well, I guess not interesting, or I don't know if this is I wrote this down because it kind of was like what I was feeling, that Alicia's kind of taking a page from Morgan's playbook, that she's now switched to this whole, like, I put tortured soul, but, you know, she's like looking for a place to build that's safe for everybody, to bring everybody in. And we got this from Arno that he mentioned, it's like, hey, you said that you knew where Padre was and that you were going to take us there and, like, create, you know, take us to a place that we could, you know, basically be safe in. And, you know, it's like this whole same storyline is happening again, but this time it's not Morgan, it's Alicia. And now Alicia's going on this deal where she's like, no, like, so she tells Strand that, I'm like, we're going to war. And I think we even kind of brought this up to, like, okay, well, so what's next? Like, when's the war? And now she's like, oh, well, it's been a while and we're trying to find an army. And so she's going to go back to the bunker because it has a transmitter, I believe. And then she wants to basically spread out her gospel to bring people in so that she can build the army to take on Strand. So I'm kind of like, okay.
Wait. She's going to go somewhere and talk on the radio and say, that's another page from the Morgan Jones playbook.
Yep. But, like, yeah, so it's just kind of like, okay, we just basically... they took the Morgan storyline they already done, and now they're just going to put Alicia into it. So
yep. You go to the whiteboard and you go, Morgan, Alicia.
So I think
they'll never know.
No, right. We would never. This is so. Oh, anyway. So yeah, that was. I'll leave it at that. That's all I had for my weak sauce. So you can take it away.
Okay, well, I have a few. The first thing I'm going to throw out is, so Arno and the Arnoians are still wearing their post-apocalypse Jawa suits and wearing masks. And after all that, after we saw Alicia running around with hers, now that she's in fever state, she's back to... you know, tank top, blue jeans, no mask. Paul had no mask. So I'm going, like I said before, we're far enough away that the radiation's not there, but we're still close enough that she could walk. And
just don't think about it.
We're far enough away that there are stores with stuff on the shelves, but we're close enough. It's like, yeah. Why is he still wearing the giant ragman suits?
Well, and also
is it a fashion statement at this point?
I mean, it must be because he wasn't wearing it, but his people were. Like, they're wearing the whole mask, right, and everything. Like, you know, so it's like the henchmen are wearing it.
Well, he took his mask off. He was still wearing the suit. He just took his mask off.
Yeah.
Because we weren't going to have another mask cam.
Yeah. Yeah, but since he was the one that was talking, they had to...
Right. Do- As opposed to the... What?
It's because they don't have their SAG card, so they can't actually really speak.
That's true. It's true. It's like, just stand there and look menacing.
Yeah, and we'll dub this over.
The part when they're at Paul's house and they're going, and he's going, you know, I can have the stereo up because my house is soundproofed. And I was sitting there looking, and really the only thing I noticed he had done out of the way was like lean some mattresses over the windows. And I was going, you know, that's probably not enough deadening material to make your house soundproof, sir.
Yes, no.
But of course, perhaps all the extra soundproofing was in the room with the generators.
And we won't know.
We'll never know.
Yep.
And I think the other part, while we're talking about the stuff we didn't see, is we never saw where that walker came from. You know, we never got what would have been, again, an easy shot to set up, you know, an open door to the outside going flappy, flappy, flappy. No, we didn't know where he came from. And so I'm going, well, so there's an open door somewhere that we don't see, that we don't know is actually closed. Right, maybe it's the same door that Arno came in.
Right. I don't know.
I was just kind of going, you know, we don't need much, guys. I don't need much. Just give me a little bit. Because when Paul said, oh, well, the lock must have failed. Where?
Right.
You know, where?
Yeah, like the garage, the front door. Like, do you have, like, yeah, the gate to the backyard? Did it, yeah.
Oh, since, well, perhaps he came in through the grand foyer where all the generating equipment is stored. Like I said, wouldn't have taken much to at least have that shot. If they'd have done the shot where Alicia came down the stairs and you see her turn the corner and go into the room.
Yeah, and then like
if you were looking out of the room where she was at when they did the shot of her face, all they would have done was go down that hall and had it backlit and had the door cracked.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be happy as a clam and would not have brought it up.
Yep.
But no, it was not to be.
Nope.
So I think that's all. I think that's all the weeks that I have for this.
All right. All right. Well, it's got some good stuff. So let's go into our what sauce.
What?
All right. Dieta from Detroit gave her what sauce. Says, so how is there a whole house still standing in the middle of where the nuke supposedly struck? Or did Alicia wander far enough away from Ground Zero and pass out from feverish fit somewhere else? ? Thinking face. Because the distance ain't making sense. Shrug. Agree. There's and I'm gonna get into it a little bit later because of what we saw at the end, but yes, there's always a question about distance, and it just seems that Texas is actually really small.
Well, obviously, they have a very efficient interstate highway system that makes it so easy to get from one side of the state to the other. So, that leaves us with some what's-alls from Aaron from the internet, who says, how did Paul play the bagpipes so well after being shot? That takes effort even without a bullet in you, so to do it that well with one, bravo to you, sir. And I would have to agree.
All right. Well, thank you guys for your what sauces. So let's just go into ours. I mean, I'm just trying to think of like, oh, what are my what sauces besides just the whole show right now? But like the auditorium, like that Paul and Alicia were at. So, like, he obviously has been there before, or, like,
yeah,
maybe I would assume that goes there probably to reflect, or, like, you know, his wife, you know, like, they played there. But I was like, it was in pretty good shape. Like the music sheets were, like, still, like, I would say in pristine condition for all this time. Like, not all over the floor. They were perfectly, you know, like, in place. Which, granted, he could have done that and cleaned it up and, like, whatever, because maybe he, like, you know, is sitting there reminiscing. But it's like, you know, that's something we don't see at this point, you know, it would have helped if, like, they then would have showed a flashback of him or something, or like,
it's like you're saying, there's no dust, there's no dirt, there's no bird poop, there's no spider webs.
Yeah, it was, like, clean. But then again, it was like, then that also looked like a very good place to have, like, kind of like a place to kind of shelter in, you know. And then that's what kind of threw it off, because I'm like, you would think that any building, like, someone would have made it at their home and then someone would have tried to come and take it.
A lovely, large, intact, easily defendable building with working doors.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Oh, no, I'm wandering through the ZA and I came across it. I'm like, oh, no, that looks too boorish. I want something more, like, more downtrodden.
I don't know, dear. You promised me a Cape Cod. I'm sorry. I'm not staying in this auditorium. This is just, you know, far, far too plebeian for me. I'm not going to sit here, you know. I saw a concert here when I was in eighth grade. I'm not staying in this auditorium a moment longer.
Yeah, or I played my recital here and it was horrible. I don't want to be here ever again. Oh, goodness. Anyways, next was like, so Paul was losing his hearing and then he lost it after the nukes went off. But I noticed, you know, he had that hearing implant deal. And I forgot, I don't know what it's called. Necessarily, but, like, the thing was, I was like, I couldn't tell if it was working, like, because when they were in the van in the beginning, like, she was speaking and he wasn't even looking at her, and, like, he heard her and and reacted to her, and in the beginning he was telling her to, like, slow down, like, I you know, give me time to read your lips. And he had that on then too. So it was kind of like, yeah. And so I kind of was like, wait, I'm like, is he, like, because I'm sure it runs on a battery, that, you know, like, are you rationing it to when you are going out? Cause that would make sense that you're going outside. You would might want to be able to hear if you have that to assist you. So when you're at home, then you're like, okay, no, turn it off. You know, I'm saving the energy. So yeah, it was very confusing because it was kind of like, oh wait, no, he can't hear you. And then he's got to read your lips to, like, okay, you can. And then,
yeah,
it just kind of threw that all a little wonky. Next was Arno. It's sure spending a lot of time going after Alicia. And then we were talking about this a little bit earlier. It's like, and for what, really? You know, it was like, it's not like she has any resources or food other than the sub, which would make sense if you would go attack the sub, you know, because they would have something that you would seem to want. But it's just like, he's just spending all his time running around because he wants to kill her, because he blames her for the loss of his friends that he is carrying into the back of a trailer with a truck that uses how much gas to even go 50 billion million miles, whatever, just to catch her, to, like, walk her up to it for them to eat her. I mean, I, you know, it was like, you really are the worst, like, or that, or you need to find something else to do, because if you're really that, like, hard up for killing Alicia, you know, it's just kind of like, dude, get a life.
Well, it's a couple of things. It could be, you know, I was thinking about it going, well, maybe she borrowed, you know, his Jethro Tull CD. And he's like, I want my CD back. You said you'd give it back. Or, I'd have to go way back to the Wayback Machine and say one of my favorite movies from the 80s was what was his name? Savage Steve something. The movie was Better Off Dead.
Oh, Better Off Dead, yes. I want my $2.
I want my $2. That the paper boys are chasing him the entire movie trying to get $2 for the paper delivery. So it's like that. It's like, you know, everywhere she goes, there's Arno. I want my $2.
My $2. That is totally it. That crossed my mind too. And I just was kind of like, I just didn't really like make that or put that in my notes or whatever. But it is. It's just like, it's just weak because there's just nothing of substance really there to make him mm-hmm. very like threatening or like I fear for my life or fear for Alicia.
He just doesn't have there's nothing menacing about him. He's creepy, but he's right. Not menacing.
Right. And he's just annoying. That doesn't really make it fearing, you know. The last thing, because this is what, like, so the end. So there's a meteor crater, and I immediately was like, oh yeah, like, and it's the only one that I know of, and it's the Odessa meteor crater.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go, and for like what Dieta was, you know, mentioning about like where the heck are they? Okay, so that crater is the only one in Texas, and it's like 590 miles from Galveston.
Yeah, it's a haul. It's a haul from there.
And isn't that around the area of where Strand and the Tower is? Because I remember we were like looking at Texas City.
See, my thing has been, I took the Tower to be more like North Houston.
Okay, but still Houston area.
It's still closer. And I didn't take it as a meteor crater. I took it as a crater from the nuke strike.
Well.
That was actually like a bomb blast. Because the last thing I thought of was an actual crater in Texas.
Well, that's what it looked like. That's the thing.
I agree. But it would be more in keeping with, oh God, listen to me. I said it'd be more in keeping with the plot and the writing to be a nuke crater.
Well,
silly me. Whatever that's.
But then wouldn't that be highly radioactive? And like.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. Well, okay. So you did basically then kind of in the best fear possible way. Then take that off the board because I was looking at it as an actual crater because it looked like a crater because I've been to Texas, you know, and it's the first thing that popped in my mind. I'm like, oh my God, I've been there. That looks familiar. I mean, it's a crater, but I've still been like, I know.
And I may be wrong. I may be absolutely wrong, but it's like you. I said, Odessa is a good lick from Galveston. Yes.
Right. And then that would have been like, okay, how the heck then you get all the way up there? You know, then it's like, okay, that's where the whole distance and all the stuff. And it's like, okay, is Texas really that small? But if that is a crater, then like from the nuke, then it's like, okay, then that puts it a little bit more of a relevant thing. But again, it didn't look like a nuclear blast. Like, you know, there's. Anyways, I'll leave it at that because I'm tired of talking about it. It's just,
yeah,
it was one of those things where it still was like, huh? Okay. That was all I had for my weeks or my whats.
Well, I threw out the first one for me was constantly going back to that intersection in the middle of nowhere motif that we had when Alicia was in her fevered dream state. And I was thinking to myself, well, they always said if you're in Mississippi and you go to an intersection at midnight, that's where you meet the devil to make a deal. And I'm going, well, so what do you get? What do you get in fear in Texas? You get an intersection on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere where there's the, you know, your spirit guide, the kid in the gas mask. I guess I would have liked to have seen a little different motif if she's actually fevered and hallucinating. Mm-hmm. Because it makes me want to, you know, take out my little notepad and sit in my leather chair and go, "So, Alicia, tell me, how long have you hated intersections? Do you feel like you're constantly at a crossroads?" Yeah, I just was kind of trying to figure that one out. Mm-hmm. I also noticed that every time Alicia passes out, she falls the same way. She always flops slightly on her side with one knee up and her, you know, one arm crooked and her other arm extended so that her head lands on her arm and her hair, you know, pillows backward so it doesn't cover up her face. So she's looking at the camera because every time she passed out, she was laying the same way. And not that I have a great deal of experience passing out like that myself. However, I have seen lots of passed out people in my career and nobody ever lands the same way. So I was going, okay, so we're down with the whole art film pass out. And, you know, when we were talking about her fever, just how many antibiotics has she taken? Paul gave her a bottle of pills. Morgan gave her a bottle of pills. You know, she's sucked down enough antibiotics, you know, to cure shore leave for the 7th Fleet, I think. And she still looks like she's dying. So it just made me wonder because, as always, you know, we have drugs until we actually need them and then we can't find them.
Right.
And I think the last point I was going to make is, so what about the mask, Alicia? As I threw out earlier, it's okay, so we're far enough away from the danger zone that you don't feel the need to wear your respirator when you were wearing your respirator last time, almost all the time, everywhere you went. You know, did the Milan fashion show come out and say, oh, well, masks are not in this season? Yeah, I just wondered.
Yeah.
And again, it's me asking for a little consistency, and I realize, yeah.
Yes, that's not a thing. I mean, it does kind of go, I guess maybe it's like, okay, well, it's a little, like, you know, past COVID issues to being, like, able to, you know, film better and,
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. But it's still, consistency would be helpful. Or something.
We'd like a little, just a little, please.
A little tidbit, just 2 seconds of like why that's not really a big concern anymore. And then it's like, boom, done. Then you never have to wear a mask again. And we'd be mm-hmm. like, cool. But no.
Just like if they'd have had some scene where somebody was running around waving a Geiger counter going, well, it looks like the, you know, the background radiation has dropped to, you know, X number of Rankins per hour. You know, the Goonigoo indicator indicates that we're down to, you know, only, you know, 15 millirems per whatever. You know, just, you know, throw a little technobabble at it and,
yeah, and then we'd be done.
Then we can all go, well, I'm glad that's over with.
No, totally. It'd be so easy to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. All right. Well, I guess that is it for our what sauces. All right. Well, we're going to kind of attempt to add another sauce-eye because
what?
Of what the fun little, this is a Brian actually came up with this. Well, no, just because, like, so this is not necessarily like a what or a week. It's just more of like outside of the show plots and stuff like that. It's just like a WTF moment. So we're going to give this a try. And it's called the Oh Hell No Sauce.
Oh hell no.
T-Dog. All right, which I didn't have anything to add in there. So, like I said, this is going to be a work in progress if we keep it or not. But we did get one from Deanna from Detroit, and she said her Oh Hell No Sauce was, what kind of plan was this anyways? I'm going to turn my music up so the walkers can hear it and come. Then they will attack Arno and his crew. But how are we going to escape? There are walkers coming in the house with Arno's people from all angles. It makes no sense. They destroyed a perfectly good house for nothing. Guess our people are constantly staying in a submarine. Facepalm, facepalm, shrug, shrug. And then she said, overall, just a dumb, disturbing episode. Upside down face, thumbs down, angry face, angry face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, again, I was, we'll leave it in for now, because I feel like maybe as the season goes on, there might be more, like other places to just have some more fun with it. All right. Well, thank you, Dieta. So that leads into our sad and aw sauce.
Aww. Well, I guess we're going to start our sad sauce with Aaron from the internet, who says, Paul dying. You knew it was coming the whole time, but it was still sad when it happened. It says, also in the vein of sad, Alicia is leaving us again after we just got her back. I get we have focused on other characters, but we haven't seen her in forever, honestly, compared to them. So to have her and then she's gone again is a bummer. It also makes you feel even more this is it for Alicia with the series, because someone who is still dedicated to a project is going to skip out this much. And yeah, you can say this is some COVID hangover, but still the fact she doesn't hype the show like she used to, and Alicia is rarely in it anymore. So it makes me think even if she doesn't die, she's going to leave. They don't use her like they should have, so what does she have to stay for? Yeah, it's easy money giving. They're just renting her image, essentially, because they don't give her actual storylines anymore, and if they do, half the time she's second, when she should be the first, or not really in character, so the money isn't worth the unhappiness anymore, I guess. If Strand dies, then Coleman is gone, and they stupidly release Kim, so her group is gone. Yes, Kim is returning for a bit, but it's not like Madison is getting her show back to make it worth staying around. So, yeah, I can see ADC leaving more and more, and honestly, I'm to the point where I'm not going to say she should try and stay anymore. Be free, Alicia. You've earned it, and I'm sorry they never did the character the respect she deserves in those latest seasons.
Yeah, sad. It's sad. It's like it's, and just, you know, bringing up the Madison deal, we know that like she's coming back. We probably won't see her till probably towards the end. And then there's, of course, they're going to be the season 8, which will then be, according to the showrunners, is going to like they keep saying, like, she's going to have an impactful role, or like, you know, make a, you know, like whatever, you know, it's kind of, you know, we don't know like how far they're going with this. Season wise, like, you know, we know there's one more season, but is that the last one? And it seems right. Like they should be starting to tie things up to kind of get to wherever this is supposed to go, to either lead into the movie, because, you know, we have the CRM, which spans all of the series. So right. They're, and this is, you know, still before, you know, where we're at in The Walking Dead, like several years back.
Right.
So they have room to do some good stuff to fill in those gaps that we're not getting in the main show. But the way things are going, and with, like, you know, the way they're using Alicia, and now they're bringing Kim back, it's kind of like I said from the last show, it's like they're trying to land a plane on a Cessna or a cargo jet or whatever on a, you know, aircraft carrier so that it might land as a thud instead of a smooth landing. Like, they're, it's almost kind of like they're trying to like do so much in so little time, and they're just going to start just like kind of throwing stuff out there and then just like boom. Well,
but we don't know what they're going to do. That, you know, we know what's coming next week, But we don't know if they're, you know, Charlie may find who's had Madison. I mean, we don't know. And just to go back to one of the other points Aaron made is Coleman Domingo is an associate producer now. So theoretically he could go off the show, but still, you know, still be making money because he's doing non-actory things now. But the other side of it is if he's associate producer, he may have more clout to keep himself alive. So, I don't know. I don't know. I think we'll just have to wait and see what happens. My point is I think you can't fully count the COVID stuff out because this leg of the production is stuff that was done as the restrictions were being lifted.
Right.
And as we said on about the main show, that you can tell a difference in the episodes once they started being able to have more than two people in a scene. So I'm hopeful that we're going to see some changes because of those things being lifted.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I feel the same that I'm like, okay, this was around the time. So it might still feel a little off being like, oh, it's just these two people on these scenes, whatever, that we'll start getting the full group back and like then more stuff happening in more bigger groups and like, you know, whatever. So, I mean, we shall see. But I think
it'll be more than, you know, the two people in the foreground and the one guy from the production department wandering around in the back carrying a rake.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll get a little less of these feverish, like, flashback dreams and stuff where it's like, it'll be actual really, you know, real stuff happening, not just like, oh, let's have a feverish, you know, doing what she did in this episode.
I was going to say to even date myself even further, you know, she's going to wake up and Madison's going to walk out of the shower like Bobby Ewing. This has all been a dream.
Would you like an Eggo?
Oh, and I was going to say, for all you young people, there was a TV show on Once Upon a Time called Dallas. Ask your mom about who shot JR. And if you're young enough, ask your grandma who shot JR.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Once again, I feel old.
Oh, all right. Well,
I don't know, Kyle. So, what kind of sad sauce do you have, sir?
Yeah, this is the same as everybody else. It was just Paul. Well, it was more of like Paul being alone and losing his wife from Teddy's nukes. Because I wanted to know more, and I wish that we got more, but we just got the little that we had, so I'm enjoying the short time that we had with him.
Right, because the bad part about it is we've talked about this before, you know, the Walking Dead trope of being T-dogged, that as soon as you get some character development, they kill you off. But I agree with you that, you know, it was nice that they gave him that much backstory, but the backstory they gave us made me want more backstory. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
it would have been nice to have, you know, the Scooby-Doo dream sequence of Paul and his wife sitting on the porch, you know, having some sort of jam session on the porch.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. You know. If you're going to do a dream sequence, you know, do something other than Padre.
Padre.
Padre. And yes, I did that to a friend of mine who's a Walking Dead fan at work. We were talking about something. He was on the phone and I just stood behind him going, Padre. Padre. And he just looked at me and was going, you know, gave me the big baddie eyes. And later he was going, You know, after you said it the second time, I realized what you were doing, and I couldn't help. I wanted to laugh, and I'm like, well, you know, that's what we're here for, man.
Oh, gosh, that's hilarious. Oh, did that come over as, was he on the phone or something? Like talking to somebody, yeah. If that came over and they're like, what's that noise?
It's more fun to do stuff like that when, if somebody's on a Zoom call.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to be off camera and say something where they can hear you, but the people on the meeting can't, and and you see the look on their face. But anyway, I digress. Yeah.
All right. All right. Yeah. If we didn't have any other sad and aw sauce,
then I have no sad sauce after that.
All righty. Well, let's get into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, we didn't have any voicemails. Renee, I'm going to make a side note. She, as we said in the last episode on For the Walking Dead, you know, she's still, you know, like she's dealing with her husband and family. So hopefully she will join us in a few weeks. But I told her that if she feels up to it or whatever, to email any kind of feedback and stuff like that, that, you know, like,
yep.
You know, definitely, you know, put it in. But she did mention that she was like not going to be on social media for a little longer. So we miss you, Renee. Hope all is well. And can't wait till you get back. All right, well, let's get into Dieta from Detroit is our had feedback. And so she said, why did they start the season off with such a horrible episode? And that's like an anguish emoji face.
that's almost like a yuck face.
I wish these things would like tell me what they are. I mean, they left us a good cliffhanger. Alicia saying we are going to war. Agreed. Then open the season with a feverish dream episode about what? Padre? What the hell? then to top it off, we meet a new character, Paul, who is deaf but likes really loud music. He needs to feel it to drown out thoughts of his dead wife. So when Alicia wakes up and sees that a zombie is about to bite Paul, Alicia kills a zombie, but inadvertently knocks over Paul's stereo and breaks it. Really? This is a story they want to tell? Or facepalm, thumbs down emoji. And actually, she didn't inadvertently. I think she threw it down. So she broke it on purpose. Long story short, Alicia has to help Paul find another stereo because he won't let her go until she does. They become friends. Alicia asks Paul to join her in finding Padre. Paul says yes, but we all knew that wasn't going to happen because he dies saving Alicia. Hashtag red shirt. Only one episode. Rolling on the floor, crying, laughing.
Yep.
And then she put this on the Facebook after, I believe, after Glennis, you know, made her feedback. And then she put this in a question. So I put it here. And she's asking us a quick question, guys. So are they saying that Alicia and Arno left the perfectly good bomb shelter to look for Padre and followed Walker they thought was going to lead them to Padre? Or was the shelter damaged after the bombing so they had to leave and follow the Walker thinking it was going to Padre? Because how is Alicia responsible for the death of Arno's people? Because when we met Alicia, she had a group with her, and I thought those were the people from the bomb shelter. So why is Arno chasing her down, and did the death of his people happen off screen? Wasn't the trucker chick and lab chick supposedly got rid of them when they attacked Strand's building? That was Arno and his people, right? So confused with the show.
Yes.
Well.
but yeah, they were in the shelter, and she said something about it after the blast, but apparently, and again in air quotes, something happened to the shelter, because that's what I've been saying this entire time, is that you had this fully stocked emergency bomb shelter that's full of equipment and food, and the lights work, and there's beds, and it's dry, and yet you've decided to abandon your perfectly good emergency shelter, and now you're wandering around in your Jawa suits you know, roaming the wasteland. And it's just, why?
Right. They do that a lot,
and too. Yeah, there's questions that we still don't really have good, nice, clear answers to.
Yeah, because it's like, so whatever happened in the bomb shelter is when they split.
Right.
So Arno and like his people split because, you know, we see them, you know, basically stripping walkers of their clothes because apparently they were trying to just make, they didn't know who the senator was, but they didn't want, they thought that that's what Alicia was trying to find to get to Padre. But then of course Alicia with her little group of people are off somewhere doing something, I guess, you know, trying to find Padre or whatever. And then whenever Morgan finally comes up and finds her, you know, at the you know, and then of course he drawed all the walkers that had, you know, dirty bombs in them. And then that's the big reunion special. So yeah, they've done zero explanation of like what is going on, because when Will went back with Strand, like the bomb shelter did not look bad at all. It just looked like the power was out, or power was half on or something. You know, it's like it was completely still very capable of like supporting life.
Right. And I'm going, okay, so you didn't water your tomato plants and your tomato plants died. You know, grow some more freaking tomatoes. You've got the beds, you've got the lights. I mean, it beggars the imagination what would be a better lure out of, again, your perfectly stocked government supplied long term emergency shelter. But to go outside,
right?
You know,
I know. I'm doing my own facepalm emoji. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, the main show had the thing of, well, the walkers got in, so we can't go back,
right?
Because you know, I still keep going, well, why didn't they go back to the prison? All the governor's people are gone. All you've got to deal with are walkers. The building still is intact. All your stuff is still in the building. Yeah, I guess I'm of a mind that if you have a structure that's solid, that you know is defensible, they're walkers. You can figure out ways to contain them and get rid of them.
Deal with them. Yeah. And a fence can always be repaired and like... rebuilt.
Well, but then that goes back to the same reason that it used to be the Walking Dead, that every time they got a car, something had to happen to it.
Yep.
You know, you've heard me rant about cars getting bricked where they wouldn't work. It's the same thing. It's like, it's almost like, again, with the adventure game motif, is like, oh, you've gone on to screen 4. You know, you've gone off that part of the map and you can't go backwards on the map.
Yep.
You know, sorry, you can't go back to the prison because the portal is down. You're in level 4 now. So, I don't know.
Yeah, they brush it off and they don't ever come back to it. And it's just kind of like, that's it. That's just what it is. So, we move on.
Yeah. Well, after that curious segue, we've got feedback from Glennis from Toronto. And Glennis starts out, I really enjoyed this episode with the music, the surreal feel, and wondering what the real and what was a figment of Alicia's imagination or dreams. Alicia grappling with her hallucinations on whether they were real or imagined, or what she was seeing, or what she is seeing her future in a way, with the masked kid appearing to help her out. Was that her mind manifesting up her future child, like Grace did just before she lost hers? With the earplugs Paul had placed in her ears at the start of the episode, it was like she was experiencing what it was like to be deaf, especially in her feverish state. That one scene where she was escaping down the road framed with trees, that was very similar to the road she dreamt about when chasing after the walker. The vibrations of sound when Alicia woke up at Paul's place was done in such a way that the viewer also experienced a little what of Alicia was going through and could get a feel of what Paul was dealing with in living in a soundless world. It made a change, creating huge sound in the world where everything needs to be deathly quiet in order to avoid the walkers. Although, with the above being said, I don't quite get it that they had to go back to Paul's house and lure Arno there to kill him. It would have been much better just to leave out together and go back to the sub. There would have been ample sound systems there for Paul to tinker with. And she says, wasn't Arno always the enemy as he was back at the bunker? When did Alicia ask him to join her fight Strand or the tower? I don't recall Arno ever being with Alicia at the encampment Alicia was leading when Morgan met up with her, and then they all had to flee because of those exploding walkers releasing radiation. The split had already happened. Arno was one of the ones that was driving the explodey walkers. Mm-hmm. So Arno going around with a truck full of his dead friends is like Charlie's old group did to use running folks off and taking over communities. So Arno is going to play the Pied Piper and get those bioradiation walkers to follow him all the way to the tower. Ooh. At least Paul is now with his wife and no longer hears her screams, so that voice is silenced.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
For Alicia to make her own Padre and this time listen to her inner voice is good, but I still think Padre exists since there was that folder entitled Padre in the Senator's Bunker. Yeah. It makes me wonder, if you've got a folder that says Padre on it, maybe you should look inside. I mean,
right?
Don't you think if they were going to go to the trouble to make a big, well-marked folder for stuff, that it would at least say where it is? You have a map, perhaps?
But didn't you crack the code? Wasn't it people are dying, run east? Wasn't that what Padre stands for?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I was thinking people were dying, run elsewhere.
Oh. Again, it's like, oh, wait, that was like completely like shown. And I think I actually used it as the screenshot for the Padre episode. That it's like, and it had lots of papers in it. So there's got to be something in there that says, like, hey, go this way, or there's a at least a map. I mean, CRM has maps.
You would think. CRM was big on maps.
Yeah, they were.
And as I said before, and I know you rolled your eyes, and I'll say it again, I would take a page from my favorite Western swing band, Bob Will and the Texas Playboys. You know, he was going back to Tulsa. And whether you like it or not, as an Oklahomian, I would still say you're going north and slightly west, which is away from where all the bombs landed.
Right. Oh, goodness gracious. I do have to comment on the whole, just how they played Paul's, like some of his scenes, with the sound and like, you know, I guess, you know, with Alicia with their earplugs and like feeling kind of like what that feeling was. Cause it was a similar to just a tiny degree of like what we saw in the Connie episode that was like so good. But there was a part where, so when Alicia was captured by Arno and he was trying to basically feed her to the, you know, trailer full of walkers that he brought.
Yep.
That Paul had his gun and, you know, when he was starting to shoot, like they did play with the audio to where it was like you could, you know, it's like when they show whenever like a bomb goes off and everybody's ears are ringing and you can't hear anything and stuff like that. And they did that treatment when it was his scene and him like, you know, shooting everybody or trying to or whatever that. So like the art direction, the production, like they do these things that are really, really good and, you know, add so much to the episode. But then on the other side, the writing and the story and stuff like that is like what's lacking. And it's just kind of like, can't you it's like, yeah, you do some really good stuff, but then it's like, it just gets let down because the story's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyways, well, I guess, yeah, it's just, it is what it is. All right. Well, thank you everyone for, that you gave feedback. So that goes, do you have anything else to say that you want to add that's outside of what we've already talked about, which was a lot?
I do not, sir.
All right. All right. Okay. Spoiler alert. I'm going to read off some of what, so there's, you know, of the set, the spinoff, The Dead in the Water, that, was available last week before Fear. So if you don't want to hear it, skip ahead. I'm going to add this as a chapter mark too, so that you can just skip ahead. So warning you, spoilers.
Okay.
Okay. So Dead in the Water. Alma from Sacramento gave it a rating at 8 out of 10, Terror Under the Sea. Shock emoji.
Under the sea.
Under the sea. I need that bumper. Awesome sauce, zombie apocalypse starting in close quarters was intense and pretty scary. I used to be a submariner's wife, so I've been on a real sub.
Oh, that's submariner, sir.
Submariner's wife. So I've been on a real sub. Okay. I'll have to edit. Well, whatever. Everybody knows I can't read very well. Oh, I just have to say though, one of my biggest fears, and I've had like the, like almost like lucid dreams, but it's just stress dreams or whatever.
Going to work without your pants on?
No, it is being on a submarine and just knowing the fact that I'm, and it always is like, I'm like, might drown or something happens and the water rushes in. It's like one of my biggest fears. I will never, ever go into a sub ever. Like the idea of being like, I'm not really claustrophobic. It's just the fact that I know that there's like all this water on the outside and it can come in and just basically kill you. So I like, yeah, Alma, I don't know how you did that. But she goes on, she said, the claustrophobic element is real and I couldn't imagine it with walkers. Scary face emoji. I felt for the guys not knowing anything and getting vague orders while at sea, cut off from everything and everyone. That emergency blow was cool. Weak sauce, I didn't like how choppy the episode felt.
And I would say, yeah, that's probably because of how it was done.
Yep.
So, next we have Emma from the UK. And she says, I agree, 8 out of 10, those wobbly bastards. Then she goes, P.S., spoiler alert. She has awesome. Always good to see the beginnings of the ZA when no one knows what's going on. Cool to find out a bit about the mission the sub was on and what they were being asked to do. Riley is a fast learner. It was also good to see his backstory and how he found Teddy. Weak. They didn't explain precisely how the sub ended up on the beach. Grr.
Yep. That they did definitely jump through. Ran out of time, I guess.
Well, and Brian had mentioned it, and I think I had mentioned it. That was one of the cool things I liked about The Last Ship.
Yeah, I have not been able to watch that because it's not on streaming, or I don't know if it's on Hulu, but I don't have Hulu. But like, it's one I want to watch.
Yeah,
cool.
And like I said, I give it 2 big thumbs up. Highly recommend.
All right. And next comes from Mark. And I put the one and only Kirkman, LOL, who used to be host with me and Brian on the Walking Dead and Fear. So happy to hear from you and the feedback. So Mark says, 8 out of 10 zombies stuck in a tube with walking meat rations. I liked that they bottled it in the sub and made its own episode. The paranoia worked well with the characters and it made for great entertainment. Plus, it gave us a history of the sub and how Nick Stahl's character came to the ZA. Totally agree.
Totally agree.
It really was a good webisode. And like, I'll go into my comments because it was a really good webisode, and that's what it was. It's like the choppiness of how it was all put together, you know, it's like they must have originally had this set up for that, and then
yep.
maybe they were going to play it during commercials break like they did Flight 462.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, I don't get why they're making it an AMC Plus only thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because since Teddy is gone, and I felt like this only really worked if we saw this before this season to kind of get that backstory on Riley.
It would have made more sense.
Right. And so I'm happy that they were like, okay, you know, I don't know, you know, did they shoot this before COVID? Or, you know, like where was the timetable? What happened? Like how did, right. you know, like that it just got all, you know, maybe they just hadn't started editing it or like, you know, post-production. And then they finally like, okay, we're just going to have to delay it. But yeah, it would have totally been so much more poignant if it happened before the season started. And then also it was like, and what's in Chicago? Because like they were ordered to fire their missiles into Chicago. And so I'm assuming that was to, because this was basically when the ZA was starting.
Right.
That, you know, they were firing their missiles into Chicago to destroy the city to stop the dead. And so in fear settings, it's like, was this part of that Operation Cobalt that we saw in season one? Or, you know, was this something similar to what we saw in the flashback scenes on The Walking Dead of Atlanta getting bombed in Chupacabra? Like in that episode, like we get to see like basically them all outside of the, like they were like what on the highway, like stuck or whatever.
Yeah. But
then we saw basically Atlanta being destroyed and stuff like that. So
Chupacabra.
So like what Emma was saying, it's like, truthfully, I'm like with the coming of Tales of the Walking Dead, it's like, I'm actually really interested in getting back to the early days of the zombie apocalypse. Like,
yeah,
like I enjoy where we've been going and the ride that we went on with The Walking Dead, but there are times where it's just like, oh, I just going back to when no one knows what's going on, getting that threat, you know, of like feeling the like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like these people, you know, that person just died and now they're going to turn. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we're kind of so used to it, but like, that's one of the things that I really am like looking forward to with Tales of the Walking Dead, that what we've seen. Cause it is, it's like, take us back there to when it was kind of like, you know, there's more, it's more horror like movie feel, you know, it's just like, oh, here's like the, yeah, whatever. It's just, it's completely different than dealing with like, oh yeah, people like walkers are taking such a side like note now, and they're not really scary anymore, you know, and it's just like all dealing with like the crazy political, you know, whatever, murderous people and blah, blah, blah. So I'm really looking forward to kind of maybe taking a step back.
There's still quite a bit of real estate in between whatever started the ZA and whenever civilization collapsed. So you could say we've gotten a taste of that with Fear in the very first season. But there's still, you know, that was L.A. So right. we've seen L.A. and we've seen like suburban Atlanta. You know, we've seen Atlanta with Rick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what was it like somewhere else? I mean, we've actually seen sort of Texas, but, you know, how was it in, you know, Cleveland or Omaha or
right.
somewhere else? Or maybe this is our opportunity to figure out why people survived in Portland. You know, why was there a Portland colony?
Right, right. Well, and then we get that little tidbit in World Beyond, which was the over like in France, I guess, you know, yeah. and like, and then also the, you know, a seemingly like fast turning and then super fast walker.
Yes. Je suis walker rapide.
Of course it would be the French. but yeah, so yeah, there, whether or not that was like had any legs to it other than just like to give us something to talk about. Yeah, there's still a lot more going on that we could, I would love to see like what was happening over in New Zealand or, you know, or Europe, you know, like take, you know, give us another like, what was it, 28 days later kind of thing. And just kind of take us back there again.
Well, and you do bring up an interesting point in that you can think of several places. I mean, you could do Walking Dead Oahu.
Yeah.
You know, just pick an island because you can't tell me that the situation is not going to be different on an island, whether it's Hawaii, New Zealand, England.
Right.
You know, whatever you want to pick, when you don't have the same thing you've got in the continental U.S. and North America, that if you go far enough, you can just keep going into Canada and you've got lots and lots and lots and lots of places to go.
Yeah.
Whereas with England, you know, you've only got a 2-hour drive from side to side and maybe right. an 8 or 9 hour drive all the way north to all the way south. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, and just even speaking on just kind of our own like reality that we've been living through in the last several years, like New Zealand, like they shut their borders down like really early. And, you know, it was like, you know, they stopped, you know, and then it kind of goes into like, okay, well, they don't necessarily need to tell us how the virus works. Or how, you know, where it came from. But, you know, like, it would be interesting to see what happened if it's like, oh, what if they are able to shut everything down and then limit, you know, like, you know, are people trying to escape and, like, all of a sudden, you know, like, a cruise ship comes and, like, rams into the thing and then spills out of the walkers and then the people that are there just, like, having to fight, you know, maybe they're not infected because we don't know how this virus works. So anyways, it's, yeah, there's so much more and places to go in that realm because it's a huge world. So, all right. Well, thank you everyone for the Dead in the Water feedback. Well, that was all we had for that. So let's go into news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right. Well, actually, ratings for the Fear of the Walking Dead kind of stayed actually fairly steady compared to, I mean, it's been a long time, so that's probably at least kind of helpful or nice to know that it's like the same kind of ratings are basically the same as when it, the finale or mid-season finale ended. So yeah, season 7, episode 9 got a 0.15 in the 1849 with 835,000 viewers, 0.23 in the 2554, and a 0.53 in the 50 plus. So compared to the mid-season finale, or yeah, finale last episode, season 7, episode 8, which also got a 0.15 in the 1849, with 837,000 viewers, a 0.22 in the 25 to 54, and a 0.52 in the 50 plus. I believe Brian added some of this stuff. So this season 7, episode 8, and he said the replay at 7:44 p.m. Eastern time, the ratings got a 0.10 in the 1849 with 641,000 viewers, a 0.16 in the 25 to 54, and a 0.42 in the 50 plus.
Well, it was nice they replayed it, but the race was still on, and it was dirt at Bristol. So, you know, it's Bristol, baby.
Well, then The Talking Dead. So, I think they're doing the same thing. So, they had one for this week's episode, but then it's not.
Wow.
Oh, no, I'll get to this. So The Talking Dead will have, you know, they had their episode for this week's episode of Fear for the premiere, but it's not going to come back until, I believe, they're not going to do it again until the finale.
Correct.
So
correct.
We won't get any more, so I won't have any more ratings for this, but which it kind of stinks, but whatever. Well, the sad thing is, season 7, episode 9 of The Talking Dead got a 0.03 in the 1849 with 150,000 viewers this week, compared to Well, I guess it's not actually WoW. It's the same. Season 7, Episode 8 got a 0.1 or 0.05 in 1849 with 271,000 viewers this week. Or that week.
It's because they freaking showed it at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. And we've talked about that. And it's like, if they're going to do that, then it's going to suffer.
You know, and come on, AMC. Come on.
Yeah. They just don't like that show. I don't get it. It's kind
of. Well, I don't know if they don't like it, but they don't understand why we're pissed off that we're not watching.
Right, because it's kind of like your little feedback show, like what we do on the podcast, should come right after the episode yes. that aired, because that's like when people are going to still be watching it, and the ratings would be good, but they'd rather do a Badlands. All right, well, on to the parrots. The Walking Dead stayed at number 10 this week. It rated 38.8 times the demand of an average show versus 37.2 times last week. Star Trek Discovery entered the digital top 10 at number 9 with a 25.1 times. Now, number 8 with 26.9. So, well, it's good to see Star Trek jumping in there. Curious what it'll do next week because, like I said, I'm not sure if like there is not one about fear. It's just The Walking right. Dead, which covers it all. So we'll see where it lands. All right. Well, news. I didn't have a whole lot, and I tried to find it. I don't know where it went, but basically, I'll just mention it. There was an article. Maybe I can find it next week, or if they'll redo it. That was with the showrunners, and they were talking about Madison's return, and basically, they just said that it will be impactful, that like they have some whatever this might mean, that it's like her coming back and then when we see her, whatever, it's going to be impactful. And of course, they won't go into details. They didn't say when like this is going to happen. They have a plan for it. So hopefully it's a good one.
Well, of course they have a plan.
Yeah. Well, that's what they get paid to do, good or bad.
Well, and I was going to say that the normal things that I see, there is a ton of speculation about the season 11 part 3 for the main show, because mm-hmm. apparently there have been some pictures leaked and there have been questions asked, and you know, they were trying to say who's going to survive and are we going to have any major character deaths, and lots of woo-woo around that. I saw several articles talking about, you know, what the return of Madison is going to mean to the show. And is she going to stay? Is she going to just show up and do something and go away? You know, what's the deal? And I'm not going to indulge any of those. I will just say that I hope that this is going to be good for the show. I hope that it will make some of the cranky Madison lovers a little less cranky. But I just have a feeling that given the way they've handled some of the plot points heretofore, I just do not know what to expect. So I will be hopefully optimistic and probably discouraged and not surprised when it happened. But I'll be here doing my thing. So yep.
And I will be here too. Well, I will just, you know, they've surprised us in the past just a little bit. So I mean, they can.
They like have their moments. I can't completely dish on them and say that they're absolutely 100% inept all the time. You know, right. They do have their flashes of inspiration. They just don't flash enough at times. Right, so right. We'll just have to see.
Yep, we will. All right.
So we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadTTM. You can send us email. That's walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. If you want to send us feedback, you can use our feedback form on our webpage. That's talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call area code 216-232-6146. Remember that all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell and additionally hit that like button. So if you hit the bell, you'll get notified when the new videos drop. And those videos go out to YouTube first before the podcast does.
And to support us, you can like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is in our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, Dieta Patterson, Guy over there, Lawrence Todd, and me.
Hello.
Kyle McAdams. Remember that Dieta, Clint, and Renee will be getting an early version of this episode this week. You can also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. And there you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. And as always, remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. What else is going on at Talk Through Media? Well, Brian and Ruthie are covering Star Trek Picard and Star Trek Discovery, as well as Star Trek Strange New Worlds. You can find them over at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com or StarTrekPicard.com. And at the Facebook group, for more information, you can find that at Facebook.com/group/StarTrekTTMPodcasts. And if you'd like to support them, they also have a Patreon for those podcasts. You can find that at Patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. You can also find Rebinge, Deep Space Nine, and Prodigy, covered by James and Kim, and Star Trek Lower Decks, that is hosted by Brian, Kyle, and LT. All right, the next episode we'll be covering is Season 7, Episode 10, titled Morning Cloak, written by Nazrin Chowdhury. Cordery?
That would be Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 10, Morning Cloak, written by Nazrin Chowdhury and... Oh, that Kalea Michelle Stallworth.
Chowdhury. Well, I was about to say Chowdhury, but I was like trying to. Anyways, directed by Lenny James. So, Aaron, you'll have a fun one with that, I'm sure. He's back at the director's helm. Wonder if that means he's not going to be in it, because it is a Charlie episode. Description. As Charlie agrees to help one of Strand's Rangers on a mission for the tower. Oh, Charlie. I cannot wait for Charlie to meet Madison. That should be fun.
You're so mean. I forgave Charlie. Well, then again, I wanted Nick to die. So.
Yes.
I forgave Charlie.
All right. Well, so until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night.